It's intended to bring its practitioners enlightenment. But there may be a dark side to Bikram yoga.
Bikram Chowdhury, he thought he was a god.
I looked at him as a father figure, as well as a guru.
A movement whose founder boasts a worldwide following. A man with dark and dangerous secrets.
The next thing I know, he was on top of me. The door clicked. And I knew then that I was actually not safe.
With his reputation and a multi-million dollar empire at stake, how far will he go to protect his image and his fortune?
I remember him pointing his fingers at me in the shape of a gun.
He wasn't going to let anyone take him to judgment.
I've never written about someone who was such a megalomaniac.
Don't stop me when I'm talking.
In depth, insightful, in a class of its own. It's America's leading journal, Vanity Fair. Contributing editor Benjamin Wallace tells the inside story of how Bikram feels the heat. Yoga. For many, the practice is spiritual, bordering on divine. In the 1990s, teachers take the restorative poses beyond the confines of the 1960s counterculture.
Yoga, thousands of years old and suddenly new again.
Catapulting yoga into a mainstream American business. One man in particular, Bikram Chowdhury, plays a pivotal role in the proliferation of the practice.
I think Bikram's original appeal was that, first of all, he was a very gifted yogi, and he also introduced a new type of yoga, which was hot yoga. And it was one where you would sweat profusely, but you'd come out of there with your endorphins firing and feeling pretty good.
Bikram Chowdhury claims to have certified more than 11,000 teachers by 2014. Larissa Anderson was one of them.
It's affected everything in my life, and I'm just trying to navigate through that.
I grew up in Kirkland, Washington. I first did Bikram yoga around 1998. I had sexual trauma before in my past, and I was going through a hard time in my life, coming out of partying, drugs, and alcohol, and I wanted to do something different. I was really ready to fully make the change in my life.
I spoke to people who had entered Bikram yoga, felt transformed and healed by it, and then became religious adherents of it.
It completely changed my life because it wasn't just physical. I was able to release a lot of like emotional things from my past, and so it was this very holistic effect. This was like medicine. And I became really passionate about sharing it with other people.
In 2003, Larissa Anderson travels to Los Angeles to attend the fall teacher training session for Bikram yoga. It is a major step in her yoga career that she says redirected the course of her life for good and bad. Bikram Chowdhury, the group's founder, leads the 9-week course.
Bikram Chowdhury is this great big presence. During teacher training, there's this big buildup, and he walked out just like a rock star. He's like, "Hello, San Diego!" And like the crowd went wild, and everyone stood on their feet and was applauding.
He wears a black Speedo swimsuit. He wears a microphone headset. He wears his hair in a top knot. He wears a big spangled Rolex on his wrist. He has a waxed chest. He radiates this miasma of cologne.
Teacher training classes start 8 a.m. in the morning, and typical Bikram yoga class is 90 minutes, but with Bikram teaching, they could stretch anywhere from 90 minutes to 2 hours.
Bikram yoga is defined by a few different features that are always present. One is that it's hot. He cranks the heat to 105 degrees in the studio. There's a precise sequence of 26 postures and two breathing exercises, always taught in the exact same order. People would vomit, they'd cry, they'd pass out, they would lose bladder control in the tent in front of their fellow trainees. It's an extreme form of yoga, and so it seems to attract extreme people. People who want to be healed in some way, want to be transformed.
Bikram kicks your ass in class. I mean, there's no other way of explaining it.
Welcome to Bikram Torture Chamber.
And it was completely different than a regular class. And he would push people. You're going to want to impress your teacher, impress your guru.
Bikram Chowdhury's disciples willingly commit to his demanding program. And Bikram's demands for commitment extend outside of the yoga studio.
At the end of the day, you'd have several hours of Bollywood movies that you had to watch. These Bollywood films were in foreign language, but Bikram would narrate these for everybody in the room, and you had to sit there and watch these.
And there are people walking up and down the aisles, kind of smacking you awake to force you to pay attention.
As this or that Bollywood film star appeared on screen, Bikram would name drop and mention his relationship to that person.
He would invite women up to massage his ankles while he was sitting on his dais. He would have different women comb his hair, and that was an honor.
I was one of the people that brushed his hair. It seemed odd to me, but it became a normalized behavior. It was very much about being in service to your guru. I looked at him as the person who saved my life because he created the yoga, and it was the start of a completely different path for my life, you know, something very healthy.
After graduating from teacher training, Larissa Anderson's career in Bikram yoga progresses quickly, first in Washington and then in Oregon.
Because of having this certificate, it gave me more opportunities to teach at Bikram Yoga Studios.
As Larissa embraces a new outlook on life, her boyfriend and Bikram disciple Greg Gamuccio wants to share his passion for yoga with others. But Gamuccio's decision enrages Bikram Chowdhury.
Greg Gamuccio decides to open his own studios, which do not have the name Bikram in their title, but teaching a very similar type of hot yoga. Bikram did not take kindly to that.
Bikram brought me into his office, and he basically was like asking me to make a choice between Greg and Bikram. I said, I'm not gonna make a choice. He walked me to his door, kissed me on the cheek, and whispered in my ear, you're no longer welcome here. At that point, I was blacklisted.
That meant she could no longer go to teacher trainings. It really cut off all of her possibilities for advancement professionally.
After dedicating nearly 5 years to Bikram yoga, Anderson is shunned by the Bikram community. Bikram studios are not permitted to hire her.
I was devastated. And my mom suggested that it might be good for me to get a job with benefits. But it didn't take long for me to feel like I was going crazy in a corporate environment because I had made this choice for my life. And now I was doing like exact opposite, and it made me really sad.
After Larissa was excommunicated, her relationship with Greg Gamuccio had come to an end, and eventually she just felt lost and like she really wanted to be back in the Bikram world. And she called Bikram and she apologized to him.
And he said, oh, sweetheart, don't worry about that. Like nothing happened, everything's fine.
Bikram, after bringing her back into the fold, invited her over to his Beverly Hills mansion.
She began spending time with the family, staying at the Chowdhury home in Beverly Hills.
I was welcomed warmly by him and the family. I helped out with preparing food and spending time with the children and helping out with homework. Bikram started out as my guru. It was like he started to become like a father to me.
When One night, she had dinner with the family like she had in the past. Everything was relatively normal.
The kids went upstairs to do homework, and then his wife, Roger, she said that she was going to sleep. So I stayed up with Bikram, which wasn't unusual. We would sit, we would watch a Bollywood movie. He wanted me to massage him. And when Bikram asks you to massage him, you don't stop until he says he's done. He was narrating the movie to me. And when I turned to hear what he was saying, he grabbed the back of my head and pulled my face to his and kissed me. He stuck his tongue out and I pulled back and I said, no. And he said, okay, sweetheart, no problem. And then he stood up and he grabbed my hand and I thought he was gonna apologize.
What happened then, according to Larissa Anderson, would change her life forever. Bikram Chowdhury, whose Bikram Yoga has developed a cult following, is alone with Larissa Anderson in his Beverly Hills mansion. She has just reconciled with her yoga guru after a year-long dispute. One night after dinner, Larissa says Bikram tried to kiss her and that she resisted his advances.
And the next thing I know, my underwear is coming off. He's pulling down his boxer shorts and he penetrates me. I immediately froze up. I didn't have a voice, and I immediately went from my body to above my body. I thought to myself, his wife is sleeping upstairs. His children are upstairs. If somebody came out from their room to come down to get a glass of milk, they would have seen him on top of me on their couch.
Larissa says that when it was over, he went into the next room as if nothing happened.
I was shaking because this person was such a huge influence in my life. And I looked at him as a father figure, as well as a spiritual advisor and a guru and a master of yoga. I was completely in shock. I didn't want to believe that it actually happened. I compartmentalized and I denied. I just wanted to get back to life as normal.
Larissa Anderson says she had too much to lose to tell anyone inside the Bikram community about the alleged incident. She has spent thousands of dollars to train with Bikram Chowdhury.
It must have been quite a psychological vise because she is completely financially dependent upon this man.
I'd already been blacklisted, so in my head, I think it was like more reasonable to deny that he raped me than it was to walk away from my livelihood and my life.
Anderson says she struggled to reconcile how the man who teaches the need for peace and mindfulness could be so callous and so selfish.
Bikram was born in Calcutta in India and at an early age became a yoga prodigy and the disciple of a well-known yogi named Bishnu Ghosh. And eventually Bikram, several years in a row, won the national championships in yoga.
Dispatched by his guru to spread yoga internationally, Bikram Chowdhury lands in Los Angeles in 1973 and opens his Beverly Hills studio the following year.
Over time, he would develop students who became more than just students, they became disciples, and the first and most important of those was Tony Sanchez, and he was sort of considered Bikram's right-hand man.
The first time I went to Bikram's studio, I was 18. During the class, I felt Bikram was a little cocky, if you will. But then after the class, I did approach him, and I did ask him what his philosophy of life was. And he said, be good to others, that others will be good to you.
Bikram's original appeal was that, first of all, he was a very gifted yogi. He believed it was a sort of a spiritual practice. He had very modest personal habits.
In 1976, actress and dancer Irene Hsu attends her first Bikram class.
There were already people there that were celebrities, like Kareem Jabal would be there, Shirley MacLaine, Quincy Jones. But this classes grew not just because of celebrities. You get a 90-minute workout by a terrific teacher, so that's why people came.
By the late 1970s, Bikram Choudhury has opened studios in Los Angeles, Tokyo, and San Francisco. Choudhury begins to search for a wife who shares his devotion to yoga.
In 1983, Bikram took me to Japan, then to India, and that's when we met Rajasri. Bikram went to have a meeting with her family to make the final arrangements about their marriage.
She was a yoga champion in India, studying from the same guru, so it was a natural match.
When Rajasri came to Los Angeles and married Bikram, she got involved in the yoga studio.
By 2011, there were about 600 studios teaching Bikram yoga. The Bikram empire spanned the world. He was in Argentina, he was in Hawaii, he was in Thailand. He was all over the place.
As the business grew for Bikram, he started spending a lot more money on personal things.
Bikram had an 8,000 square foot home in Beverly Hills, and he also had an enormous collection of luxury cars, including the Daimler that Howard Hughes had owned, which had a toilet in the back.
He thought he was a god in his yoga tent, and at a certain point, that yoga tent blurred in his mind to the entire world.
Bikram became very territorial about his own yoga. He would either sue or threaten to sue anyone who attempted to teach his methods without his endorsement.
He unleashes a wave of litigation against anyone he believes is using his techniques. Bikram Choudhury hires Mickey Jaffa Bowden in 2011 to help manage the growing number of lawsuits.
Bikram hired Mickey to be his head of international affairs and the legal department.
I was born in India, and then I did pre-law in Oxford in England, and I then worked internationally as an international business lawyer. This was a big step I was taking because I was going to be, in essence, tethered to the company that was sponsoring my H-1B specialist work visa. As a single mother, coming out to LA to be head of legal at Bikram Yoga was a dream job. But I started to see signs of difficulty with Bikram pretty much right away. Bikram has a propensity to use very vulgar language.
Oi, sit down. He has not at the top.
During teacher training, certainly, and also in the office, he uses the F word.
What is the object? Why your knee is still not locked?
He'll use the C word. He would stick his finger up and make a circle with his fingers and put his finger through it and simulate the sexual act. He would also stick his tongue through his fingers, and he would do that while he was talking to you.
In 2010, Pandora Williams, a trainee, confronts Bikram Choudhury about his abusive language. He has her removed from class. When Choudhury refuses to refund her $10,900 fee, Williams decides to sue for gender discrimination, race discrimination, and breach of contract. Choudhury is enraged by the lawsuit.
Bikram's reaction was, she's a bitch, she's lying, shut her up. And he told me that he was not going to sit for deposition and that his criminal lawyer was going to take care of this woman who was forcing him to sit for deposition, namely Carla Menard.
The signs of megalomania, in my opinion, were apparent within the first couple of hours of his deposition. He didn't like having to sit there and answer questions, certainly not questions from a woman.
Ask me silly questions, so that's what gets silly answer. So talk like a little civilized, educated person.
He called me a stupid lawyer, said I didn't do my homework, referred to me as a donkey. When I insisted that he answer and respond to questions, he became very dark.
I don't take anybody threat. No, I will not come down. If you're threatening me again and again and again.
And very sinister. Bikram was a well-funded, arrogant egomaniac, and he wasn't going to let anyone take him to judgment.
You trying to prove I'm a good man or a bad man? I already proved it for 55 years. People stand up in the line all over the globe to touch my hand, take a picture with me, touch my feet. This is a joke to me.
Bikram Chowdhury settles the Williams lawsuit for $2.5 million. The lawsuit is only the beginning of a long list of allegations that will expose the dark side of hot yoga's top guru. In 2011, Mickey Jaffa Bowden accepts a position in Bikram Chowdhury's yoga empire as head of legal and international affairs. Within months, she realizes the man she admires has a reputation for abusive behavior. But allegations soon go beyond harassment. An unnamed woman comes forward claiming she was sexually assaulted at a Bikram training in San Diego. Like Larissa Anderson, she joins a growing list of alleged victims.
I received information that a girl had been raped at teacher training. And I, along with outside counsel, went into Bikram's office and confronted him on that issue. And he looked at his outside counsel and he said, "Boss, what do you expect me to do?" You know, implying that women were somehow throwing themselves at him. As a lawyer, that to me is an admission. Now, he didn't deny it.
Ultimately, she ended up going to Rogers Street to see if they could get some kind of control over this.
Rogers Street said to Mickey, "You should think of you and your daughter. It's becoming very dangerous for you."
When I pressed him, particularly in relation to the sexual allegations against him, he would threaten me. I remember him pointing his fingers at me in the shape of a gun.
Mickey Jaffa Bowden has been working as Bikram Chowdhury's lawyer for nearly 2 years when she's called into his office. Bikram introduces his new team of lawyers.
They said, "We've decided we don't want you anymore. And you can either resign or it's going to be really bad for you."
These were not idle threats. And she clearly believed that she would be harmed, plus her daughter.
I wrote out a two-line, "Dear Bikram, I hereby resign with immediate effect." I signed it and I left.
It only took one day after that, and Bikram revoked his sponsorship of her visa. He shuts down all of her utilities in her house, takes her car with the baby seat in it. So life got very serious for Mickey that day.
The exit from Bikram Yoga was horribly traumatic and traumatizing. It continues to be to this day.
Just one day after Mickey is forced to resign, another woman's story of sexual abuse confronts Bikram Chowdhury's new legal team. It's a story that started almost 10 years earlier.
I was in college in Washington. It was 2004 that I took my first Bikram yoga class. And I remember the date. because I remember how much it changed my life. My scoliosis started around my freshman year of high school, but then I think the more that my spine started to curve, it really messed with my mental state. It got to be really painful. I was actually having trouble sleeping. But then in college, a friend stopped me and said, last night I tried this yoga class. It was really hard. You want to do it?
She attended a Bikram yoga class, and it was almost miraculous in its impact on her. Her back stopped hurting, and she was happy.
And I thought, this is awesome, and I would love to be a yoga teacher.
Sarah Bond drops out of college, and in April 2005, she attends the Bikram teacher training course in Los Angeles.
She entered the first teacher training really looking forward to learning from this master, this guy who had very quickly transformed her life. A few nights later, Bikram admired her posture. She could do an extremely deep back bend.
And every time I'd look over, Bikram was looking at me. Pretty soon he took off his watch, which was covered in diamonds, and he handed it to the girl next to him who had been massaging him and brushing his hair, and she brought it over to me, and she said, Bikram wants you to have this. And I was a little bit uncomfortable because that was not a thing that I was used to at all. I gave the watch back after the posture clinic was over, and he hugged me and he kissed me, and he started talking about how he felt like we'd known each other like from a past life.
On the fifth day of training, Bikram called Sarah Bond into his office.
And he asked me to have a seat. And Bikram said, what should we do about this? And I was, what? And he said, what should we do about us? We need to make this a relationship.
Uncomfortable with Bikram Chowdhury's advances, Sarah Bond says she excused herself and left his office.
She quickly went to Craig Villani, who led the teacher training, told him what had happened, and he said, that's just Bikram. You just need to separate the man from the yoga.
Craig also told me that I should surround myself with lots of people so that Bikram wouldn't be able to be alone with me again.
Sarah says she took Craig Villani's advice and did her best to avoid being alone with Bikram.
I just kind of shut it away and dealt with it in my own way and tried not to think about it. I really, really kept my visits there minimal and brief.
After completing the teacher training in 2005, Sarah Bond makes a rapid ascent in the competitive Bikram yoga world, placing second in both the national and international competition in 2006.
She was later invited to his home for Thanksgiving by Rajashri. She felt safe going to this Thanksgiving.
She felt that would give her a zone of protection being around his family.
After everybody had left, I was sitting on the couch with him, and we were watching an Indian movie. And I thought, this is really nice. And then Bikram put his hand on my leg, and I moved his hand off my leg. And I just kind of looked at him like, really? This again? And very soon he was on top of me. He had one hand going up my leg and the other hand was wrapping around me and touching the side of my breast. And he just kind of started breathing on me and telling me that he needed to have sex with me. I told him no, that I will never do that. I pushed him off of me, I stood up, and Bikram told me that there was no way that I would win the upcoming national or international competition without doing that with him. And I said, yes, I will. He said, you won't. And I left.
Sarah Bond says she was left wondering, just how far would Bikram Chowdhury go to punish her?
Thank you.
Sarah Bond, a rising star in the world of Bikram yoga, claims Bikram Chowdhury sexually assaulted her in his home.
It was like the ultimate betrayal because I viewed Bikram as somebody who was godlike. I mean, he was the person who gave me back my life, then just kind of take it all away again. It was such a betrayal of my trust.
Sarah Bond says when she fought him off, Chowdhury swore that he would never allow her to be a world champion. Just months later, in February 2008, Sarah is about to find out exactly what he meant by that.
Sarah attended the national championships and tied for first place.
I sought Bikram out after, and I approached him, and I was really proud of myself, not just because I had placed first, but because I did it. I did it, and I didn't have to sleep with you.
The next day at the international championships, she had an incredibly strong performance, but when the judges announced the results, she was second.
I watched some of the judges actually just go like this. And they just slumped down and they didn't look up. And then later that night, the judge came up to me and said, yeah, you were robbed. That's not what we wrote down. We had you as first. And that's exactly what she said, because that sentence played in my head for years after.
Sarah is convinced Bikram influenced the judges, but she decides to let the incident go, including the sexual assault.
Everybody goes, why didn't you do something if it was that bad? Sometimes it's that bad that you can't do something, that the only thing your body knows how to do is just shut down. I didn't leave, I stayed. I'd come that far, and he wasn't going to stop me. There were things that I hadn't done in the yoga community, and I didn't want him to determine if I did them or not, because he was disgusting.
Just 2 months after the competition, Sarah is invited to assist in a teacher training course in Acapulco. She has reservations, but agrees to go with one caveat.
I asked to just speak with the senior staff alone. And I was very specific. I needed to be with somebody at all times. And they all agreed that that was understandable and that I would not be left alone with him.
One night, Sarah was invited along with a number of other teachers to go watch movies that evening at this very hotel where he was staying.
Around 4 or 5 in the morning, the staff member that I had talked to in that meeting said, we're leaving, the movie's over, let's go. I was looking for my shoes and my purse. And I remember kind of stumbling around and looking for these things, and the door clicked. They've left me. Now I'm in danger. And I knew then that I was actually not safe. I was trapped against the door, and he started kissing all over my chest. He started touching all over my breasts. He had his boxers on, and he started pressing into me very forcefully. And he was just breathing and kissing all over me. And I was able finally to push him off me enough that I could slip around the door.
Sarah told a number of people within the Bikram organization about this assault in 2008. And she was essentially threatened that she had to be quiet if she expected to stay.
It was devastating to me. I came up with methods to kind of cope with it. And my main mantra that I repeated frequently to myself was separate the man from the teacher.
Following the incident in Acapulco, Sarah continues to work as an instructor in San Francisco. She eventually marries and has 2 children.
One day after class, my daughter said, Mommy, I want to be a yoga teacher someday. And in my head, I said, you can't. You'll get sexually assaulted just like me. And I mean, that's a disturbing thing to think. I didn't sleep that night. And the next morning I woke up and I said, I need to contact a lawyer. I need to keep this from happening to my daughter and other women.
She went to the district attorney, reported what happened to her, and filed a complaint.
In 2013, the Los Angeles County District Attorney's Office concludes there is not enough evidence to prosecute Bikram Chowdhury.
Sarah Bond decided to press forward with a civil suit against him for both sexual harassment and sexual assault.
One of yoga's biggest stars is being sued for sexual harassment. A former student of Bikram Chowdhury says he demanded sex and assaulted her in 2005 when she was 20 years old.
Once Sarah Bond filed suit, it kind of opened the floodgates because she wasn't just some random Bikramite. I mean, she was a star in the world of Bikram.
A day after I was fired, Sarah Bond's lawsuit was served on Bikram. I resolved that night as I was driving home from headquarters, having just been booted out by Bikram, I was going to assert my rights, and I decided that I would bring Bikram to justice.
When we filed the lawsuit on behalf of Mickey, the predominant claims were sexual harassment, sexual discrimination, and wrongful termination.
Bikram Chowdhury denies any misconduct towards Mickey Jaffa Bowden or any other women.
Did you ever say, I am a god, women love me, I can do anything to them, even put my whole hand inside their they don't care?
No.
Did you refer to women as
no.
Whores?
No.
Mickey objected to you referring to women with all of these terms that we've just talked about.
What happens next will change the world's perception of Bikram Chowdhury. After incidents of alleged abuse by yoga guru Bikram Chowdhury, two women file lawsuits charging sexual harassment. When the news media report the allegations, other women begin to come forward.
I think that the predators that rape are banking on the fact that you're not going to say something. And I think that is your biggest strength, is overcoming that fear.
In 2015, six women, including Larissa Anderson and Sarah Bond, come forward accusing Chowdhury of rape and sexual assault in civil lawsuits.
The through line with these accounts and these lawsuits is that Bikram Chowdhury is an obnoxious misogynist who used his status and his fame to try to pressure young women into having sex with him.
In January of 2016, the sixth case against Chowdhury, Mickey Jaffa Bowden's lawsuit for sexual harassment and wrongful termination, goes to trial.
Bikram was there for the majority of the trial, and he testified.
In the courtroom, Chowdhury repeats much of the same behavior and testimony that he gave in deposition.
He told Mickey she was asking for trouble if she didn't shut up, if she kept asking about you and the sexual assault allegations. Isn't that right?
I don't remember.
It became very clear to me, and I think Carla and everybody in that courtroom, jury and judge included, that Bikram felt he was above the law in every respect.
Don't stop me.
Wait just a minute.
Don't stop me when I'm talking.
The jury decided unanimously in Mickey's favor. Unanimously, which is pretty extraordinary in a sexual harassment, employment discrimination case.
Bikram Chowdhury is ordered to pay nearly $6.5 million in punitive damages.
The entire experience has been very harrowing for me, but I've come out of it with a sense of vindication. I also wanted to show my daughter that one must stand up and fight for one's principles, and one must stand up for other people as well.
When you've been raped or sexually assaulted, it is with you for the rest of your life. It does change who you are. It changes how you will be. I go through bouts of depression. My ability to have an intimate relationship with a man is pretty much out. But when you speak, it no longer controls you.
There were so many people in that training, sitting there, watching Bikram talk the way that he talked, normalizing all this sexual stuff and all this hate talk. And people just sat and listened to it and applauded and laughed. I did too, and that is where it has to stop.
In May of 2016, Bikram Chowdhury leaves the country. He has not returned and is not required by law to do so.
I think that Bikram was changed by his success. He had a lot of people that were doing all his bidding instead of confronting him and saying, Bikram, you have to behave.
Mickey Jaffa Bowden continues to fight for the money she was awarded by the court. Chowdhury is rumored to be in India conducting teacher training sessions near the city of Mumbai.
It's extremely important to me that he doesn't do this to another woman, but I don't see that happening. Bikram is in India. What are we gonna do about that? My goal was to make this stop, and now he's just gone. And nobody's gonna make him come back. That's where it ends. And that's sick.
I've never written about someone who was such a megalomaniac with just a decades-long track record of human wreckage.
If I could say one thing to Bikram, I would say stop being such a coward. Come back into the United States and face what you've done.